Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for our readings. The first reading. After the Holy Spirit comes to the apostles on Pentecost, Peter preaches the gospel to the gathered crowd. He tells them that Jesus, who obediently went to his death according to God's plan, was raised from the dead by God. Finally, he appeals to Scripture, quoting Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11, to show that Jesus is the Messiah, the crucified, the risen Jesus is now enthroned. A reading from the second chapter of Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. For he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 16 will be read responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. Those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading. This epistle was written to encourage Christians experiencing hardships and suffering because of their faith in Christ. The letter opens by blessing God for the living hope we have through Christ's resurrection, even amid difficult circumstances and surroundings. A reading from the first chapter of 1 Peter. Blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
There are not written in this book, but these are written
so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord.
It's more like Thomas is saying, really? to be real. Thomas had a hard time understanding what the others were telling him. So Thomas said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of his nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas has some questions and some doubts. Do you ever wonder about things? Do you sometimes have questions about God and for God? When my niece and goddaughter Helena was 4 years old, she went to worship on Good Friday and heard the reading of the Passion story. Afterwards, she had a list of questions, deep and thoughtful questions, questions that made me think. She asked, were Jesus' friends afraid that they might get hurt or killed too? Sure they were. That's why they were hiding behind locked doors. She asked, why did Jesus say on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Jesus? Was it just to fulfill scripture? Or was Jesus experiencing the very human emotion of despair as he suffered on the cross? Does it mean that God was not with Jesus on the cross? Or was God there, but in the midst of pain and suffering, Jesus could not feel God's presence? Do you ever feel like God is not with you when you are hurting? Does that mean God is far away? Or are we too overwhelmed by our struggles to sense God's presence? Do you ever wonder where God is in the midst of all the violence and the wars all around us? Sometimes we have more questions than answers. We may each have a list of questions to ask God when we someday see Jesus face to face. In the meantime, there is much we don't fully understand. But there are some things we do know. We know that Jesus sat with Mary and Martha in their time of hurt and confusion, anger and sadness, grief and loss, and in fact cried with them and felt the darkness and loss and sadness himself. And I think Jesus does the same for us when we are in a difficult time. In John 3:16, we heard, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." We know that this forgiveness of our sins was bought with Jesus' blood. We know that Jesus knew suffering and struggle and physical and emotional pain. We also know that Thomas got to see the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes. A week later, on the next Sunday, when they were gathered together again, Thomas was there. And Jesus came again through locked doors, stood among them, and said a third time, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Once Thomas saw the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes, he no longer had the need to touch Jesus. We have the saying, seeing is believing. And that's how it worked for Thomas. But then Jesus adds an extra challenge for us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We have not seen the resurrected Jesus with our own eyes. And yet, we are invited to believe that God has created each one of us in the image of God, and that God loves each one of us and all people, and that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. And then we are invited to believe that God has raised Jesus to a new life, and that God desires to give each one of us the gift of peace and new life. So we now proclaim boldly with the disciples, "He is risen. He is risen.